Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Be part of the Kairos family today. I'm so grateful. My immense thanks and appreciation goes to Pastor Prince and also Lady Theodora, even though she's not here. I was so wishing that she'd be here, but I'm told that there's a likelihood that she'll join us, and so I'll still be praying in my heart as I speak. Yes, we have known each other for quite some time. I told Pastor Bright that I'll share with him something he did for me when we were on campus. It was through Pastor Bright that I was able to speak in tongues, that I had Holy Spirit baptism. Yes, through Pastor Bright, that one fine evening, there's a place in Tech that I don't know whether it's still called so, but it's called Paju Annex. It's just behind the Indies Hall, one of the sites of the Indies Hall. We're just two that evening. He marched us there. We came back speaking in tongues. Meanwhile, I had been praying for the thing. I remember so I used to go to Christ Temple West. I was so kind. Go and lie on the floor. God, I want to speak in tongues. God, I want to speak in tongues. And it took just one fine evening with this man right here. And by the grace of God. And if I start talking about Pastor Prince, I won't finish. Role model, inspiration. I mean, those were the days on campus that, you know, you looked up to your campus Christian family executives or your fellowship executives for direction, for word, for, you know. And oh, he was right there. At a point, he was the prayer secretary, and you know your pastor already. If he's leading you to pray, oh, it was such a blessing being associated and to have kept the relationship up until now. I thank God for what I see. I've not been able to visit him since he started. I mean, he used to be at the other location, and I get here and I see this. It's like, wow. Pastor Prince, God bless you. God bless you greatly. God bless you greatly. God bless you greatly. And God bless you as well for choosing and deciding to be church workers and willing of your Independence Day to be here for training. You could have chosen not to come. Life is a choice. You choose where you want to go, when you want to go, what you want to do, and you had will. You had will to have come up with a very good reason why you could not be here, but you are here. You are here, and that is very cherished and appreciated. God bless you for being here and for helping this work. And he said it, so I have to say it. If I don't say it, I'll be in trouble. I came with my wife. And she's called Sheila. Sheila, please, if you could just stand and just let them appreciate you, please. Kindly appreciate my wife. Pastor Otabo, please, you may be seated. Thank you. Pastor Otabo shared something over the weekend that while she was appreciating Lady Joy, his wife, that he thanks her and all the pastors' wives that endure as pastors and our difficulties and our challenges and our nuances and everything. Yeah. And they endure it and swallow it and come and sit in front in church as though nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. God bless pastors' wives. Is anybody here who wants to be a pastor's wife? Show by hand. Hey, I'm not surprised your hand is down. I am not surprised. Please, all that they are telling you is not true. Please, Anshila, I lie. All that they are telling you, hey, you get time, you get attention. What? That is not true. Please, don't believe them. Don't believe them. But anyway, we are here to learn a thing or two. I thank God I came to meet just the latter portion of Pastor Bright's presentation. These are amazing nuggets, not just for thriving and succeeding as a church worker, but for life. When Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore you should get it, It doesn't mince words. Wisdom will set you apart. Wisdom will take you on high. Wisdom will give you things that nothing else in life will give you. And if you know how to live life and live it well, following instructions, being careful to listen, being careful to do exactly as you are told, all that, it serves you well, not just in church, but in life in general. If you apply these principles to your boss at work, you will do well. You will succeed at your work. You will prosper. It will go well with you. You will get the increase and the pay rise that you've been trusting God and hoping for. It would be very fruitless to be working so hard, toiling, doing all you can, praying all you can, and not do the things that you ought to be doing in order for the increase and the elevation to come. It would be so fruitless to do that. And so please, let's take all the points, 13, 14, 8. I've seen pastor's notes and all. Please take them all to heart. Keep them in mind and reflect on them. I have been asked to share a topic I think is very relevant, very useful, very helpful. And I'm trusting God that within the time, I will be a blessing. The excellent church worker. The excellent church worker. The excellent church worker. The excellent church worker. I'm someone that likes words. I really like words and the meaning they carry and what you can do with them when you understand what they mean and you communicate it well. I think it is a very well-chosen topic. The excellent church worker. The excellent church worker. We will break it into parts and try to understand what we mean so that we have a shared understanding. If I ask anyone here what your ideas of what an excellent church worker would be, everyone would share a thing or two. I would love to sample that. Can I get to know a few of you, if not all of you, before we leave? Pastor Prince, I can do a bit of engagement. Okay. I'm looking at those that are looking away, because those that are looking away are the people that usually don't want to talk. So please own up. What's your idea? When we say an excellent church worker, what comes to mind? Any thought, any word, any virtue, any description? Can anyone share what their idea of an excellent church worker is? Anybody? I'll be grateful. I'll be grateful to learn from you. Very grateful. Anyone to share? Looks like you want to say something. Oh, someone wants to say something here. Okay. Can I give him? Okay. An excellent church worker. Broad ideas, broad strokes. Who's an excellent church worker?
So, my understanding of an excellent...
Please, your name?
George.
George, okay. Oh, you can sit. You can sit. Feel free. Just relax.
So, my understanding of an excellent church worker is the one who is diligent in doing his work.
One who is diligent in doing his work. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so the key word is diligent, being meticulous, being sure that you dot your I's and cross your T's, being diligent. Please, anyone else, a diligent church worker. That's an excellent church worker. Okay, your name?
My name is Jaden.
Jaden, nice name.
An excellent church worker to me is a worker with the right mindset.
A worker with the right mindset. Okay. I like that. It means that we are taking us to a different realm. Then we have to define what a right mindset is. Okay. But we'll park it there for now. An excellent church worker is one who has the right mindset. Provided you have the right mindset, you do excellently as a church worker. Just one more. One more thought. I've had two gentlemen. Okay, three. I'll take one last person who is a lady. Your name, please.
My name is Selassie.
Selassie, great.
I think an excellent church worker is one who delivers.
Okay. One who delivers to expectation. Yeah. Great. So it means that there is an expectation, it is communicated, and you go and come back and it is just as it was expected to be done. You do it. Diligence, right mindset, a deliverer, someone who delivers on expectation. I think I saw your hand. Okay. I'll take the last point, your name.
My name is Tilly.
Tilly,
yes,
great.
Excellent church worker is someone who actively contributes.
Actively contributes, great. So it means that the person is not a spectator. stands on the lines and watches how things are going, but he's in the game. In my former days, we used to play a lot of video games. I don't know whether there are some EA sports fans here, especially the gentleman. Ah, Selassie raised his hand. Uh-huh. You know, anytime you're going to play a FIFA 2009 or whatever, when you hear EA Sports, what does it say? It's in the game. Uh-huh. So it means that you get in the game. You are part of what goes on. You just don't stand aside and look at what is going on. Thank you, Selassie. Thank you, Tilly. Thank you, George. And thank you, Jaden. Let's put our hands together for them. Excellent, excellent, excellent responses. Okay, so let's work with what they shared and work our way through. Okay, so next slide. We will cancel the words that, some few words in the topic, and then define as we go ahead. So let's cancel the excellent and then worker, and let's define church, 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 church. The Bible tells us that the church is the ecclesia. It is an assembly of called out ones. And so one key word that describes church is an assembly. An assembly. When people come together with the purpose of worshiping God and serving Him, we call it church. It's an assembly of called out ones. Is anyone here into IT? IT, you do IT computing? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so the IT people will tell you that there are two sides of the coin. There's the software and then there's the hardware. The hardware is the frame and what you see on the outside, whether it's a laptop, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a desktop. The body is the hardware, and what runs the computer is the software, okay? So I've tried to classify the words that I'd use to describe church into these, either software or hardware. Okay, so an assembly, that's when people gather like that and all, I would call the software. Okay, another word that describes church is the temple of God. The temple of God. I've tried very hard to pull these descriptions right from scripture. So somewhere in your Bible, I am sure you have read about people going to the temple of God at the time of prayer to worship. Depending on which time, whether it was Old Testament or New Testament, it could be a synagogue, or it could be someone's house, or someone's home, Phoebe's home, or something of the sort. But there's a physical location that people go to congregate, to pray, and have fellowship. And that also qualifies as the church, the temple of God. That I'll call hardware. It's where you actually physically meet. Charis Temple is located here, Sakomono, I believe, right? Good. So this is the temple of God, but this is also an assembly of God, a place where people come to have fellowship. The third word I'll say is the household of faith. How many people have read that in the Bible before? The household of faith, the household of faith. That also describes the church. The fourth is the family of God. And the fifth is the body of Christ. Okay, I'm sure you've read all these. It gives you a different picture of what the church is. So either an assembly, a temple, household, family, body, they all describe church. Are we on the same picture? Okay, okay. So let's cancel church now, and let's try to define worker, who a worker is. Again, I've tried very hard to stay within the remit of scripture, and so these words you would invariably find when you read your Bible. A worker is a laborer, someone who is hired to work, someone that is that you say, I'll pay you this much. Many a times you read the Bible and there's a parable of people that were called to come and work, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. A worker is someone who works, a laborer. A worker is a servant, someone who is called to serve, called with a responsibility, called with a task, called to do something that is specific. Selassie said that a diligent worker is someone who delivers on expectation. So it's someone that comes to serve, or a related word would be minister. Minister. A worker is a slave. That's a bit of a very deep and a dire one. But there are instances where we are to be slaves of Christ. Paul would say that I am a slave of Christ. We are expected to be slaves. That is to say that we have no will of our own per se. The master whom we serve determines what we do, when we do, how we do it. We are slaves. The fourth is a helper, someone that is brought in to help, someone that is brought in to assist, someone that is brought in to, you know, carry out a task to relieve you of the burden so that you'll be able to do what you are doing more effectively. And the fifth word is a steward. Very important word as well. A steward is someone that is given a talent or something that does not belong to them, but it's given to them to manage. And the expectation is that after a while, you render account for what you did with it. So all these words describe who a worker is. Let's go on and cancel the church and worker, and let's leave excellent. Let's leave excellent on the board. Okay, excellent. Excellent, again, when you look through the Bible, you'll find words like magnificent. Magnificent. I'm sure you've said it before, okay? And I'm sure when you saw that, it's either you went for maybe a church function or a wedding, and someone just got out of their car wearing their dress with their fascinator and their sash and very good makeup. And even you, the lady, when you saw it, said that, wow, that is magnificent. Has anybody been there before? When you saw something and it just took your breath away, that's something that's excellent. It's magnificent. Something that is perfect, without error, without fault, without anything that spoils the picture. When we see something is excellent, it means that it is perfect. Thirdly, something that is praiseworthy. After you've seen something that takes your breath away, the next minute is to praise the person and say that you look good. Where did you buy your dress? Where did you do your makeup? Is the person on Instagram? Uh-huh. It takes you further to begin to share praises because you see that thing and it is excellent. It is praiseworthy. Fourthly, something that is noble, set apart, something that is of nobility. It's like, it's something you want to associate with because it looks good on you. It makes you part of nobility. Fifth is quite simple, something that is great. It's of the highest quality, excellent quality. It is just all the way there. Okay, now I'm running a bit fast because I want to cover a bit of ground within the time I've been given. Now let's cancel the excellent and leave church worker there. And what do we get? The same words that we used. We have assembly, temple, household, family, and body. Worker is laborer, servant, slave, helper, steward. And something that if you have a young child, when they are growing and in school, they are asked to do is to pair items. Is to pair. Do you remember doing that? I think something like Venn diagrams or something. You have to try and draw some circles and begin to pair whatever. If you pair any of these items, the ones on the left and the ones on the right, it will invariably give you a definition of who a church worker is. Okay? A laborer that works in assembly. A servant that works in the family of God. A steward that works in the body of Christ. A helper that works in the household of faith. If you combine any of these, it gives you what? The definition of who a church worker is. Now let's add the last one. Please go to the next slide. Excellent church. We've done church worker. Now let's try and define excellent church. Again, the same words that we've introduced. An excellent church is one that is a magnificent assembly, either a praiseworthy family of God, a great body of Christ, noble temple of God. Whichever way you add those two words on the left and the right, it gives you the definition of what an excellent church is. Let's take it home. What is an excellent church worker? An excellent church worker. Once again, add any of these and it will begin to paint a picture of who an excellent church worker is. The qualifier is excellent. Someone who is magnificent. Someone who is praiseworthy. Someone who is great in what they do. Regardless of what you do here in church. Usher, intercessor, music, whatever it is. When you get the understanding of what the word excellent is and what your responsibility is in the space that you find yourself in, you almost immediately are able to place yourself right there and say that I am a church worker and I'm an excellent church worker. Next slide. Okay, you see that person in the picture. Do you see them? Do you see them? Are they familiar? They are very familiar. Who are they? Pastor Prince and who? Lady Pastor Theodora. Okay. Now, they have a goal. They have a goal. Their goal is to build an excellent church. Okay? That's their goal. When they come to church and they gather and they meet and all that they do, their goal is to build an excellent church. Next slide. Okay. Now, I see some people in some really nice dress. I'm sure that's the choir. Please, is anybody a member of the choir here? Anybody a member of the choir? Okay, please, are you in that picture? You're in that picture? Either one in the corner or you're in the middle. Okay, I have to look at the picture when they look at your face. Please, that drama, is that drama here? Is he here or is not here today? I saw this drama somewhere on your Facebook page. Okay, okay. How about those people dancing? What's their name? The one on the top left. Pardon? Charismata. Expressions. Okay. They are the drama group here in church, right? Dancers. Okay. How about the top right? They are also, I think, praise and worship. Anybody a member of the praise and worship team here? Okay. Please, are you in that picture? Oh, where were you when they took that picture? When they take the picture, you have to say, I was there some. That's the whole idea of taking pictures. So I was there some. So when they are taking the pictures, you have to peep your head and photo bomb and say that I was there some. All these people, plus all of you gathered here, you also have a goal. You also have an expectation. What's the goal? To help build the excellent church. Pastor Prince and Lady Pastor Theodora have the vision and the goal and the mandate of God upon their heads to start and build a church. It's called ICGC Caris Temple. It's not supposed to be just up any church. It's supposed to be an excellent church. The problem is that they can't do it alone. And so they need the help of a lot of people. And I dare say everyone gathered here and every other person that was unable to be here. Your goal and your expectation is to help them build a church. Next slide. An excellent pastorate working with an excellent church worker will give an excellent church. Simple equation, but it has so much meaning. If we have an excellent pastor, which I know Pastor Prince is, preaches good word, leads in worship. Like he said, he knows you too well. If he just lifted 5 minutes of worship, you all be lying here. He knows you. That tells you that he knows you. He's an excellent pastor. Lady Pastor Theodora, I know her personally. I know she's an excellent pastor. Working with an excellent church worker base will make ICGC Caris Temple excellent. Par excellence. Par, par, par. With the understanding that I've shared with you. And the last line I leave down there is that it is possible. Can we say that together? It is possible. It is possible. The very fact that you are here gives me comfort that it's possible. The very fact that you have willed yourself to be here today to participate in this tells me that it is doable and it is possible. And together we will do it. We will do it. Okay. Let's take it a bit further. Okay. Church workers. What's this? What's the whole idea behind church workers? Next slide. What's the whole idea? Okay. So, you know, we don't do things anyway, anyhow. If you find us doing something in church, particularly in ICGC, particularly, we find it from the Bible. And so we learn what the Bible teaches, and then we practice it, and then we are very fine, okay? If you take a journey back into the Old Testament, so Adam comes into the world, Eve is given to Adam, they sin. Unfortunately, sin comes into the world, Cain and Abel are born, Cain kills Abel, sin just permeates, perpetuates, becomes so bad in the times of Noah, God says that I'm fed up. I don't think I even regret the fact that I created man. Wipes out all humanity, leaves Noah, his wife, his three children and their wives. They start a new generation. People begin to populate the world. And then God chooses Abraham to reveal himself to. God begins to remake himself known to Abraham. There are a whole lot of pagan religions in their time and all that. God selects Abraham. God, through Abraham, brings forth Isaac. Of course, Ishmael came in ways that we should, unfortunately, it happened. And they say life happens. I don't go there. Okay, so Isaac comes, and the Bible tells us that it's through Isaac that, you know, I will give you a lineage. After Isaac comes who? Jacob. Okay, Jacob leads to Esau. Sorry, After Jacob comes 12 sons, Reuben, Gad, Naphtali, Zebulun, Asher, Dan, the whole lot of them. Then God selects one out of the 12 sons called Levi and says that out of this group, I'm going to raise up a priesthood. Just about that time, Moses is given instructions to set up the tabernacle, and the whole formality of worship is being instituted. And God says that I need one tribe out of the lot in Israel to serve dedicatedly in the house of the Lord. And so Levi is selected, and out of Levi, Aaron and his sons. Okay, now Levi has three children, Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. But Aaron comes out of Kohath. So God says that all the priests, those that would effectively serve as pastors, high priests and all, will come out of Aaron, Kohath. But the rest, Merari and Gershon, their children, their seed, will serve as Levites in the house of the Lord. There was so much work to do in the house of the Lord. God instituted all manner of things. There was supposed to be the table of showbread. There was supposed to be a lampstand, they were supposed to change bread, so on and so forth. The high priest had his responsibility. He was supposed to go and offer sacrifice on behalf of the people. But the rest of the people serving in the house, the Levites, some were singers, some were gatekeepers, some were, please show by hand if you're a musician here. Musicians, excellent. Okay, so it means you are Levites. If you go to some church, the music group is called Levites. That's where it comes from. Levite serving in the house of the Lord. So the pastor was supposed to come from Levi, and then all the people that will serve in the house were also supposed to come from Levi. Please go to the slide before this. So the slide before this. Okay, one more before this. Okay, so Exodus 28, 1 to 2 says, now take Aaron, God speaking, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. Next slide. There's a reference in Numbers that says something similar, that Moses was supposed to bring the sons of Levi, and they were supposed to serve him. That is to say that all of us here are supposed to serve Pastor as he leads us to serve and worship God. That is essentially what Moses was asked to do with the sons of Levi. And they were supposed to attend to the needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting and to do the work of the tabernacle. Next slide. When you read 1 Chronicles 25 and 26, it talks about the work that they were doing. I've mentioned it, they were musicians. And most of the times, if you read the stories of the Old Testament, when King Jehoshaphat was leading the people and whole army was coming against them, he appointed people to sing. And it was the Kohathites, the people that were descended from Levi, that were supposed to lead the flock and sing and all. Please, I hope you're following. And there were two things I want to identify in this. God was very particular about what they would wear and what they would do. Two things, what they would wear and what they would do. Moses was instructed that they should make garments for them. And the high priest was supposed to wear something very elaborate, an ephod, a turban on his head and all that. It was supposed to show that they are sanctified, they are separated, they are dedicated unto God. And added to that was the responsibility that they were told to do. Okay? In serving as a church worker, those two things are so important. What you wear, not necessarily what you wear or what you wear probably next Sunday, but how you present yourself, your conduct, your character, your mindset. Someone said mindset. It's necessary to be an excellent church worker because that's the pattern we find in the Bible. And then what you do, whether it is ushering, whether it is singing, whether it is dancing, whether it is whatever, what you do is so important. Next slide. Let's come to the New Testament. New Testament. We have another model in the New Testament. The church has been founded. Jesus has ascended on high. Pentecost has come. And the Spirit of the Lord has descended. Peter gives a first sermon. Wow, so many people give their lives to Christ and all. The church begins to grow. And then immediately they begin to realize that there are other pressing needs. At that time, the only leadership was the 12 apostles. Then they began to see that these needs cannot be neglected. They need to be attended to. But the more important aspects also need to be attended to: prayer and then the preaching of the word of God. And so what do? They call for deacons. Deacons are called Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nahor, Nachor, Nicanor, and all of them. And the seven deacons are selected. And beyond them, other people are given extra responsibilities to serve in the church. Hello to church workers. Hello to church workers. So pastors are there, the apostles, Peter and Philip and so on. There was a Philip who was an apostle, and then a Philip who was a deacon. And then they are deacons, and then they are church workers. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 6, that it was not desirable for them to leave the work of God to serve tables. Not to say that serving tables is wrong. It is a very dignified, respectful job to serve tables, to do the work of God. You never belittle what you are assigned to do in church. It is important. Don't turn up one day on a Sunday and we will feel it. Because what you bring to the table is necessary, is important. That the enemy has a way of just making you feel like you don't matter. It's not important. If I don't go, if I don't do what I'm doing, oh, please do not accept that lie. Whatever you do in church is necessary, is important to the functioning. If it is as little as taking a bottle of water and putting it wherever, you doing that work makes the whole system function and function. Well, are you clear? Notice two things about this same text. Next slide. Their character was of prime importance in choosing them. They were supposed to be filled with the Spirit, of good reputation, and full of wisdom. The next thing they were supposed to do was the work they were told to do, similar to what we find in the Old Testament. The character, the presentation, the mindset, the outlook, they were carefully selected. And then afterwards, they were told what to do: serve tables, serve the Hellenist Jews, make them feel okay and all. And they were very particular and very wise in selecting people of Greek origin. Stephen and all, they had Greek names, and they were very particular about that. So two instances in the old and in the new, that tells us what the origin of this whole church workers is. You are in the Bible. Clap for yourselves. You are doing what the Bible says you should do. Okay, next slide. Marks of an excellent church. So important. So important. Marks of an excellent church. Okay, I'm in good time. Okay. What will make people bypass all the churches that are in their neighborhood and come to Christ Temple? What will make people overlook all the options there are and come to Christ Temple? If you go to a supermarket, you have options. You look around and the shelves are full. And you go to the option that you like. Sometimes you are restricted by the money you have in your pocket. And you go for the option that you don't like because you are restricted by the money you have in your pocket. But let's say you had all the money to spend and to spare. You would go for what you like, your preference. Why? Because you've had a good experience with it. Someone introduced you to some chocolate drink and it didn't go well, you landed in the White House for like 1 week, would you go for it again? No. You'd go for what you like, that draws you, that attracts you, that makes you feel good. That's what you spend your money on, and that's what you spend your time on. And when someone gets up and leaves their home, they may even have a church. They may even have a church they're attending, but perhaps something brings them to Charis Temple. What will make them stay? What will make them say that, no, I have to be in this church. I have to be in this church. I'll share my life's example. I was born a Catholic. I was raised in a Catholic church. I attended St. Teresa's in North Kaneshi for the best part of my life. And I bless God for my heritage. I bless God for my beginnings in the Catholic Church. Gave me the foundations and the grounds for which I'm able to do what I'm doing today. At a point in time, I was introduced to Pastor Mensah Otabo. Kept listening to him on TV3 and on Radio Gold. Are there anybody here like that? Radio Gold. I won't listen to anything else. Anything. Just Mensah Otabo and then I'm gone. Because it's a very, very political radio station. I'm sure you know that already. Uh-huh. So if you listen too much, you just become partisan. Uh-huh. I just listened to Pastor Mensah Otabo and watch him on TV. I watched him listen. I said, nah, there's something I like about this man and this church. One day I just got up and said, listen, I'm going to this church. Thankfully, my father was very, very accommodating. It's the same God, and he let me go. And today, look where I am. So, something drew me to ICGC Christ Temple. Something drew me. What draws people to Charis Temple? What are the things that we should look out for, considering that people have a choice? People go to different churches for different reasons. But if you have someone that is really well-meaning, someone that is truly seeking God and not miracles and not just something as a quick fix, even though their life is has a big question mark on it, they will invariably go to the place where we find these featured. A church that is God-centered. A church that is biblically grounded. A church that is spiritual. A church that offers genuine ministry. And a church that is orderly. It may not be exhaustive, but I feel these are so important to building an excellent church. God-centered. The church was started by God. Jesus is the head of the church triumphant. And so if there's a church that is doing anything else that is putting someone at the very top other than Jesus, then I have a problem. And there are many like that. Shambolic churches, plenty. All you need to do is to just turn on the TV on your free to air, and you'll be shocked and amazed at the same time. Meanwhile, there's a church slapped on it. God-centered, Christ-centered, biblically grounded, where there's discipleship and spiritual formation. A spiritual church that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, loves prayer, loves worship. Spiritual. Spiritual, not the wrong kind of spiritual, but the real, authentic spiritual, allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way when we meet. Genuine ministry, a place where there's fellowship, a place where you feel belonged, a place where you feel welcomed, that people don't treat you like we are here just to take your money and that's it, but you feel you belong there. Orderliness, a church where there's clear vision and mission. That when you come to church, it is predictable. When we start at 11, we'll close at 12. Someone won't come and say that, listen, I have a revelation, and take us to 2 p.m. Orderliness, predictability. There's order. Bible says that all things have to be done well and orderly in the house of the Lord. Orderliness. These are the marks, in my opinion. Again, it's not exhaustive, that you ought to find in a church that is excellent. What then makes an excellent church worker? What then makes an excellent church worker? One that has tied his or her umbilical cord to these same tenets. One that is God-centered, him or herself. One that is orderly, him or herself. One that is spiritual, him or herself. One that is biblically sound, him or herself. I will in no way say that we have arrived. Even Paul said he has not arrived. How much more me? The revelations that man got, he himself, Crapo, said he has not arrived. How much more us? But we are on a journey. We are on a journey. And at every point in time, there's more we can acquire. There's more ground we can cover in becoming more God-centered. This is our God year, the last I checked. Glorious theme for the year. I pray it really manifests in your life by the end of the year. Say amen to that. God-centered, Christ-centered, that everything I do, it's Jesus at the center of it all. And it's not just the song I'm singing. It is Jesus take the wheel, and it's not just Carrie Underwood singing and I'm singing along. But something that plays out really in your life, that you yourself, you have decided. Because the building blocks of an excellent church is an excellent church worker. If the tenets of an excellent church is one that is God-centered, it has to be full of God-centered church workers, biblically sound church workers, spiritual church workers, orderly church workers. We need to find these in your life. And then three other things that you need to do. You have to offer your head, you have to offer your heart, you have to offer your hand. Offer your heart first, you offer your head, and you offer your hand. What do I mean by these? What do I mean by these? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, I jumped the line. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart. When we open your heart right now, and it's not like you are doing open heart surgery, but when we open your heart and look into your heart, can we find Jesus seated on the throne of your heart? Is he the governor? Is he the one that determines what you do and what you not do? Sanctify Christ in your heart. Offer your heart. Just to tie into exactly the theme of today's presentation, Psalm 16 verse 3 says, "As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." Who are the excellent ones? The saints of all the earth. People that have offered their heart, sanctified Christ in their heart. You have to set apart Christ in your heart as you serve the Lord here. Offer your head. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent. I think I heard diligence at the beginning of our conversation. George, you were right on point. You are in the spirit. Be diligent to present yourself approved, 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 approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Daniel 5 verse 12, another appearance of excellence. "Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will give the interpretation." Daniel had offered his head. And so the king saw that this guy, he can come and interpret the dream that is baffling all of us, that is baffling me. He had offered his heart. He had committed himself and said, "Lord, use my mind, my will, my emotions. Use me as a person." God is spirit. We all know that, right? And God in his might and power and ability decided that you and I will be representatives of him here on earth so that we will rule, we will be his ambassadors, having his right of rule here upon the earth. And he needs a vessel to work with. Will you offer him your heart? Will you offer him your head? That is your will, your intellect, your abilities, your person. And it's not just about just being the way you are, but being knowledgeable, deciding to become better at what you do. It leads me to my third. Offer your hand. Offer your hand. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7 says, "But as you abound," in other translations it says, "as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound or excel in this grace also." It was referring to giving. And that's just one aspect of offering your hand, being serviceable, deciding that I am a musician. I'm going to learn the best way to play the drum. I'm going to learn the best way to usher. I'm going to learn the best way to do X, Y, or Z. That is when you become not just a spectator, but you are in the game. You are in the game. You are part of what that goes on. And say that I'm bringing my best to the table. I'm bringing my best to the table. Pastor Prince made a very important allusion, and I want to just adjust this more. He said that when anything comes from Christ's temple, it is law. It is law. It is coming from somewhere else. You don't bring it. But if it comes from Christ's temple, Pastor, I think even when it comes from Christ's temple, it has to be a suggestion and not an imposition. Christ's temple, they do it this way, so we are going to do it this way. Please, I beg you. It is a suggestion and not an imposition. But you learn something new from somewhere. It's like, wow, can we try this in church? Let me show it to the leader. Let me show it to pastor. When we do it this way, this looks like cutting edge. This is the way ministry is done now. You are offering your head, your heart, and your hand. 1 Corinthians 12:31, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." There are more excellent ways. This was a reference to love, but there are more excellent ways. And as you offer yourself as a vessel for the Lord to use you as an excellent church worker, you are helping to build this excellent church called ICGC, Charis Temple. What happens when church workers work excellently and an excellent church is built? What happens? What happens when we succeed and we continue succeeding? It is not a destination. It is something we continue doing. After we are able to chalk one success, we look forward to the next, and we are becoming more excellent and more excellent. What happens when we as church workers decide and become excellent church workers and help build an excellent church? Number one, the Spirit of the Lord comes to abide. The Spirit of the Lord comes to abide. The presence of the Lord falls and abides. In the Old Testament, when you read 2 Chronicles 5, 13, 14, the Bible says that after the church workers did their thing, when the trumpeters were playing, when the singers were singing, and were doing it excellently, the Spirit of the Lord fell, and they couldn't minister anymore. Isn't that what we want? We want God to come and just be in our midst and do what he wants. When we come to churches, because of God we came, well, I know Pastor Prince is handsome. I know he's good. But when we come to church, he's not the one we came to see. We came to see God. We came to hear God. And when we do what we do excellently, the Spirit of the Lord falls and abides, and we are not even able to minister. They carry us home. We wake up and we are the better off. The Holy Spirit comes when we do things excellently. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion. He loves to dwell in excellence. Why? Because I'm going ahead of myself. Okay. Because God is excellent. He loves to dwell in excellence. And so when we create that, it becomes something like an aroma. It becomes a sacrifice. When we are here and we are doing our thing, ushers are ushering well, smiling, welcoming people, being courteous. Can I help you? Doing this, doing that. The first-time worshiper that comes in and just goes like, wow, I've not had this kind of treatment before. Even the hotel doesn't give this kind of treatment. Hey, church, pan. Go to the washroom. The washroom is neat, clean, smells good. It's like, wow, even airport washroom doesn't smell this good. It's called excellence. It brings the Spirit of the Lord down and he abides. Secondly, the church grows and flourishes. It grows and flourishes. People can tell excellence from things that are not excellent. God has given us the ability to discern and to be able to tell that this thing is magnificent. It is wow. And this thing is not. And most likely, people will choose what is excellent over what it is not. If we build an excellent church here, listen, it is the best advertisement that you can do. Give. Best advertisement. I call it the Samaritan woman effect. Samaritan woman had an experience with Jesus. She now went to call the other people to come. She now went to call them to come. Come and see. Come and see. Come on. I've never met someone like this. I have never been to a church like this before. Come and see. People come and see themselves like, hey, I'll be here. I will stay here. I will stay here. The place will become so full, we will have to trust God to even go up. Trust God to go up. Because we are doing things excellently, and the result is that the church grows and flourishes. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Just after they had appointed deacons and they were doing their thing, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. That was the result when they began to do things excellently. Why the need to have a retreat set on the theme of the excellent church worker? Why are we here? Why are we doing what you are doing here? Why are we here in the first place? There you have it. We are serving an excellent God, and he deserves nothing less than excellence. We are serving an excellent God. And so he deserves nothing less than excellence. That's why we are here. That's why we are listening to what you are listening to. So that we can serve an excellent God excellently in an excellent church. We are to be excellent stewards of the grace of God to bring him glory. When you use your gift, your talent, and your ability, everyone here has a spiritual gift given to him by virtue of the fact that you are born again Christian. For some, we are excellent at administering, excellent at being merciful, excellent at being kind. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, it's there. Every one of us has been given a gift, and God expects us to be excellent stewards of the gift. And where can we find that expression? In church. And out there when we go. Thirdly, there's a reward. There is a reward. There is a reward. God is a merciful and a faithful God. God is not a chisel God, though. He is a very merciful and a faithful God. He will reward you beyond your imagination. If you commit, God will beat his chest and say that this thing that you have done, and I read that in the Bible, it's like, So a man can do something for God to beat his chest and say, Abraham, this thing that you have done, I will bless you. Is it Abraham only that can get that testimony? No. That when you commit and say that, God, I'm serving you and I'm serving you excellently, you will provoke God to say that this thing that you've done for me, I will bless you. I'll reward you. It's a reward being in an excellent church, and there's no better place to be than ICGC Christ Temple. Let's put our hands together that we are in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much for having me. I hope it's been a blessing, Pastor Prince.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Karis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Karis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Karis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.